Hello, everybody. Welcome to a contagious quarantine version of Why We Drink. It's a kind of a fun episode. Art and I are trying out something new called Google Duo, which is a video app on our phones, and we're able to record remotely, and that's kind of fun. I get to see your image on my phone.
Yeah, we're looking at each other. We're not in the same kitchen. Yeah, we're not in the same kitchen. In fact, we're no longer in Mike's famous kitchen, although Mike is at his house in his famous kitchen. I'm in my living room here in my house, and we're pretty much just talking to each other over the phone, but the video call app. So, Michael, you're drinking something. What is it that you're drinking?
So this is called Lindeman's Framboise, F-R-A-M-B-O-I-S-E. And it's a raspberry lambic beer, it's called. And the reason I'm drinking it is because it was given to me by my friend. She wrote a story, and we were both quarantined, and like, we're bored. Why don't you write a children's story, and I'll illustrate it. And she was like, cool. So she wrote this story about our dogs, and it was inspired by a couple things. First of all, my dog ran away this summer, or this spring, and it was kind of in my head what it was like to be outside alone for 2 hours wandering the streets, and so then we were joking around about writing the story, and I said, what you should do is you should have, like, the dogs run away and they come upon a lost chihuahua that can't get home, so they help him find his way home, and they, like, fling him over his fence to get back into his yard, and then be like, stay over on your side of the wall, chihuahua. We don't want you on this side, taking up all our good space at the dog park. And she didn't like that very much, so she changed it up a bit.
Well, wasn't it because you guys were making, or at least not you guys, but rather you were making fun of the whole building the wall kind of thing,
right.
Trump racism that's going around the world.
That was just a joke. But then she took that idea and then built around it. Did you have a chance to see it? Did you go through it?
Well, you sent me the PDF last night. You sent me one earlier, about maybe 3 weeks ago, and I read that, and I liked the story a lot. But then you sent me the revised version last night, but the file was too big, so I couldn't open it. So you sent it to me just a little while ago again in a much smaller version, and I haven't gotten around to seeing that.
Okay. Well, there's a surprise in there for you.
Oh, no kidding. There's something in there about me? Oh, that's great. Thanks a lot. Is it a generous kind of thing, or is it supposed to be very ambiguous?
Oh, you'll see.
I'll see it? It's probably probably something to do with me and my mom. Remember how last week we recorded the podcast and I told you about this meltdown that I had with her? And about how I was just...
Yeah,
actually, I got some reaction from that from an old friend of mine. He listened to the podcast and he just gave me a call. And he pretty much, he said the exact same thing that you did, which is like, she's a person that has her habits. She's a person that wants to feel secure with how she does things. So I really should not be, placating her with my wanting to change what it is that she's got going on in her life. Let her be and let her enjoy life. She deserves to enjoy life at this point. She doesn't deserve any of my shit. It's not that you and him said it like that, but that's the gist of how I should have actually had taken my steps in dealing with my mom on these particular times. Especially since we're cramped up in the same house together. I see her all the time now. Not that I didn't see her all the time before, but it's just that I can tell that she's getting restless. She wants to go out. She actually wants to not be in the house all the time. And, So he sent me a message and he pretty much just says, hey, I hope everything's fine with you. But he said that was a very passionate podcast. He said that, he felt my frustration, but that I should actually deal with it in a much more positive way.
Well, that's cool. You're getting feedback.
Yeah.
From our one listener.
Well, just one listener, but I did share it with everybody else, so I don't know who else has heard it. And at this point, I'm thinking that there's no excuse for nobody listening to our podcast. If I share a podcast with somebody, I'm pretty sure they've got all the boredom. Time in the world right now to hear it. Right? How many podcasts do you listen to on a regular basis? If you had to really think about it,
Three regularly, but I haven't been lately because I'm not in the car.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was always like a drive type thing where you drive around.
So while you're at your house right now, you're not listening to anything like that? You're not listening to any programs in particular?
No, but I'm letting them accumulate so later on I can go back and I can listen to the old version. Because they're once a week. And so, I mean, 3 days of the week and then you're done.
Yeah,
there's that whole. You know, I can go to back episodes.
Well, speaking of podcasts, I completely forgot to mention the name of our show. So this is another episode of Why We Drink. You can listen to us at whywedrink.xyz, and welcome to the show. But you mentioned what you were drinking. I don't have a drink. In fact, I did have a drink. But guess what I did? I prompted my phone on top of my drink.
Your phone?
Yeah, so I can't really reach for it and drink it. I mean, I sort of thought of just prompting it up there at the last minute, and it's a good angle, so I've decided to just keep it there, you know, for what it's worth. So what else have you been doing? You mentioned...
The last week and 3 days, how's things with your mom?
Oh, well, it's actually been pretty good. To be quite honest with you, I've actually gotten around to just being nicer to her because I've felt nothing but endearing guilt for the way that I treated her. That one time, I've just been a much better in my best behavior. You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, she was upset, I was upset, and when we got back together in terms of being in the same room together, we did what every Mexican family does, which is we don't speak about what happened, and we pretty much just deal with it and let it die, and then we go back to being normal. So that's what we pretty much have done.
Internalize it. Just push all those feelings down.
I'm pretty sure that if I had a therapist, I'd be telling him everything that I told you and on the podcast. And I would probably get one of those analytical responses from a professional if I had one of those in my life. You had an issue with your refrigerator.
I've been having an issue. So the freezer, gosh, it was a month ago. It stopped making ice. It started to get warm. The temperature reading on the outside was showing some fluctuation between the 20s and the single digits, but it would go up and down. And before this whole pandemic thing kind of exploded, I called a guy. He comes out. He took it apart. He said, "You gotta defrost it. You blew a fuse." So I replaced the fuse and let it defrost for 24 hours and then fire it up, should be fine. I said, "Cool. Here's your check." And then 24 hours later, I plugged it in, and it worked for a little while. And then again, fluctuation in the temperature. It wasn't working. So I called the guy back, left a message, and said, "This is what's happening." And he said, "Okay, well, it didn't finish defrosting. So 48 hours. Wait another 48 hours, and then go in there and turn it back on. Should be fine." So opened the door, had a fan blowing inside of there for 48 hours, plugged it back in, worked for a little while. Ice never worked again. It just, the ice stopped working. Plugged it back in, and then it started up again. It was doing the same thing. So I called him back and said, "Look, it's doing the same thing." And I left a message saying that, and he didn't call me back. And that was about 3 weeks ago. I still haven't heard from him, so I don't know if he's not wanting to talk to people and go to sites because of the virus, or if he's just a dick. Either way, no, I had a broken freezer.
I'm pretty sure he's just a dick and you have a broken freezer.
So last night I was like, "All right, forget this. I'm taking the entire thing apart. I'm going to look at it." I downloaded the schematics. There's an exploded view of the refrigerator and how to take apart the entire inside of the freezer. So I took the whole thing apart. I put everything in the tub And sure enough, there was a wall of ice on the back wall. It was a nice solid wall of ice. So I kept the freezer door open. I propped a small electric heater to blow hot air into it. I let the whole thing melt. I had a towel, which was sopping wet afterwards. It took about 24 hours, and it was just completely bone dry. Everything was out. It was all done. So this morning, I put everything back together and turned it on, and so far, it's working. So hopefully that did the trick. I don't know. We'll see.
But is it producing ice? Is it something that you can see that it's actually working because you see ice forming now? Regular ice,
well,
I mean?
The last time I checked, the ice maker filled the tray. So that's the first time it's done that in weeks. That's a good sign. So hopefully that's I think the first time, also, there's a little rubber spigot that comes into the area with the tray of ice, and there's a hole, and it goes through the hole, and it fills the tray of ice with water. Well, the first thing I noticed when that dude left was that there was ice forming on the floor of the freezer, so that like an ice skating rink, it would just freeze up on the floor, and I'd go in there with a hammer and smash it up.
Right.
And also on the walls, there were ice, but only on the side with the ice maker. So I started to wonder if maybe he didn't put that little rubber spigot in the hole completely, so it was spilling water off the edges and then running down the sides and freezing and then causing a puddle on the floor. I think. I don't know for sure. We'll see. But I made sure that thing was in the hole when I put it back together.
Wow. That's a little bit of an adventure when I hear it, when you tell it the way you do.
So, yeah, it was just bugging me. I hate that not having ice.
Yeah, because you drink a lot. I mean, you know, you drink casually.
Sure do.
But yeah, you know, here's the one thing that I've been doing, and it's actually destroyed every effort that I've made to try and lose weight at the start of the year. I've actually been eating a lot, and I pretty much have gained all the weight back that I lost at the start of the year. It's gone. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I'm not saying that the weight is gone. I meant to say that the weight is back. I've gone back to the weight that I was.
Your gains are gone.
I gained so much weight. There's nothing to do in the house except eat. There, you know, if you want to do some exercise sitting in the house, you can do that. But I've been sitting on my fat ass, and I've been working on my my little project, my cartoon. And
maybe it was worth it then.
Well, you would think so, but you see, the thing is that the whole point was to do the cartoon and go to the gym and keep in shape, and because now I'm stuck in the house, the only thing that I can do is actually just work on the project, and I can't do the other activity that I was doing, which was, you see what I mean. And what about you? Have you gained any weight? Because you've always been thin. You can't tell if you've ever gained weight because you always look like you're in thin shape.
I'm not sure if I gained weight. I know I lost definition. I was going to the gym 3 times a week and then stopped for a month now. A month or two? Maybe 2 months?
I think it's about a month and a half now for us, for me at least.
Yeah, I tried going running outside a couple of times and it was just hard on my knees and yeah, it didn't work. And you can't really lift weights with dumbbells. Like at the gym, you need like a support rack and a bench. Here, I don't have any of that, so it's just
I have a pretty big backyard, and if I wanted to, I could just stay outside and, you know, jog in place, do push-ups, do jumping jacks. But that's just too much work. And also, it's gotten pretty cold outside. Like any excuse to do any exercise.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, the weather is bad. It fluctuates. We got one really nice day in the last week or two.
We sure did. It was really great, especially hanging outside. And then I was thinking about doing something that this is the perfect time to do it, but I'm not going to do it because I've just been lazy and also because I've been just doing and prioritizing all of my time making my cartoon. And that was clear out the garage. You know how for the last 2 years I've been talking about clearing out the garage? Well, I could do that now. I mean, I actually have got the time to do that now. I mean, it would keep me busy for maybe a good 4 days. I would throw stuff out that needs to be thrown out. I can clear and organize all the stuff. And because I'm stuck in the house, I would be working in the house because of the coronavirus. This is a perfect opportunity to do that. But am I taking advantage of that and doing it? No. Which means that I'm back to being the guy that I am, a procrastinator and a prioritizer of things that are not as important as what I think they are, should be, or are.
I don't know about that. I mean, you've been working furiously on your film, and that's not nothing. That's not like, I mean, you prioritize something that's important to you. So you should give yourself credit for that.
Yeah, well, let me show you something. What do you think this is if you had to think about it, okay?
Let's see that. A little bit. Yeah, it looks like an organizational chart for all your scenes and check marks next to them after you finished them. So it looks like you've got scene 11 and then cut into 23 bits within that scene.
Yeah.
And the dates in which you finished
them. So, believe it or not, I've actually gotten to 13 minutes and 34 seconds as of last night. And since last night, I've actually added two more scenes, and I'm just about to finish one more scene. And it's just a two-second scene, the last one that I'm working on. But if I had to think about it, I think I will break the 14-minute barrier tonight.
Very nice.
Yeah. So I'm in great shape when it comes to my movie. But I am going to tell you, I have to start telling people that my film or my movie, my animation is going to suck. If somebody says, "Hey Art, what have you been up to?" and I tell them, "Well, I'm about to finish an animated film that I'm going to be able to show everybody very soon." And they say, "Oh, well, that's great." And I'll be like, "It looks like shit." That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say it looks like shit.
Of course.
So that when people actually see it and they see how shitty the animation is, they will be able to say, "Yay, great job. And you're absolutely right when you said that your animation is shit."
you're like the personification of Eeyore. You're like, "It's shitty." I know it took me forever to make the movie, but it's a piece of shit.
You know what? It's a thing that I kind of mentioned to you that at the start of the process, my animation was terrible, but I improved. But I can see shots where you can tell where I've actually taken the time and the effort to actually make the thing look good. And then the next shot, I've just half-assed it, you know? So there's an inconsistency throughout the process, throughout the whole almost 14 minutes that I've completed, where I'm pretty sure that if you were an animator, if you were like a professional animator, you would be like, "Oh man, that's just horrible." But maybe to the layman, to the, you know, somebody who doesn't know anything about animation and just doesn't pick up on all of the mistakes that definitely are in my film, they'll be like, that's pretty good. I like that a lot." And they would, like, just let it slide. Maybe that's my audience. But if I were to show it to actual professional people, people who love animation, people who have made movies before, people who are editors and musicians and artists, they will see the flaws. And a lot of my friends are artists.
Mm-hmm. First of all, you're an idiot. second of all, what you're going through is completely normal, and everybody thinks that their stuff sucks. They're very sensitive to criticism, and they more often than not will think the worst before they show this work or whatever it is. And I'm speaking firsthand. I drew 33 separate images using the pen. By the way, the pen that I got at the pen show with you, favorite
Metropolitan
pen. It is so good. I love the way it comes off on the paper.
It's called
I use that
Pilot
exclusively.
Metropolitan.
Mm-hmm. It's a really nice pen. So I use that and then colored pencils. And I put a lot of work and effort into it. And number one, I saw the progression, like you say, where at first I'm just kind of struggling to get my footing. And then as I go on, I'm starting to get better. And then I'm looking back and thinking, oh, should I redo that? Because it's not as good. But I didn't. And then I was finished. By the time I was done, I felt really good about like my final drawings. But then I thought, it's inconsistent. Because if you look at it, it goes from one level and it kind of rises to a whole nother level. Yeah. And then I started reading about what you do when you submit your work for publication. And immediately thought, there's no way anybody's going to pick this up. This is not as good as what other illustrators do. I'm going to be like in a saturated market of much better artists. And so I had the same thoughts, the same things going, like sensitive to criticism and very like self-aware of all my flaws. By the way, your chair is very squeaky. Are you sure your microphone's not picking up? My chair is very
squeaky. You can actually hear it? Yeah, it's a pretty old chair, with you.
That's your chair, isn't it?
Yeah, there you go. Speaking of squeaking, okay? So you did show me some of your work. You shared some of it on Instagram, and you haven't shared any of it on Facebook, have you?
Nah, I kind of shying away from Facebook.
I showed my mom your illustration. I said, this is Mike's dog. Is that your dog right there? Okay. So I showed my mom your drawings, and she thought they were mine. I told you this story already, right?
But your ending of the story was I showed her your picture, and she thought it was mine. And when I said, Mike, she was like, yeah, I'd rather have him as my son.
Yeah.
That was the typical art ending. Like, boy, I sure wish he was my boy.
But you know what? The thing is that if you've done 32 individual drawings, you must have been very satisfied with them. I mean, because you obviously don't do anything half-assed. I've never seen you do anything half-assed, ever.
Kind of. I mean, I know where I look back at them and I know what I should have done certain things. I was like, oh, I didn't draw this or I didn't draw that. And a couple times I had to go back and redo certain things because, like you said, drawing the human hand is a bitch. Trying to get the hand right. It's so hard. But
in fact, let me show you something real quick. All right, so this is a sketchbook, and it's nothing but drawings of hands.
That looks familiar. But I have one like that, too.
Yeah, and what
Art's doing is he's showing me a sketchbook filled with just hands.
A sketchbook, but what I did was that I went on the internet on pages that says how to draw hands, and then I just copied off the computer screen the drawings as they are on the screen. And then I'm thinking, well, there, now I know how to draw a hand. No, to this day, I don't know how to draw a hand. I use this as a reference. I literally, like, now take this.
Art is showing me. Art is showing me this drawing pad, and it's just covered in severed hands. They're just across the whole thing. There's a bunch of hand pictures. And I feel like he should scan that and then post it, like, on social media and just write, potential girlfriends. Potential future girlfriends.
I should do that. Have you ever done that? You know, I did some. I'm about to confess something to you. Okay, when I was in high school, when I was a freshman in high school, I drew what I wanted my girlfriend to look like. Did you ever do that when you were like a kid? Yeah, you did. I'm not sure. Well, okay, so what I drew, and this was like 1984, 1985, okay? So I'm a freshman in high school, and you know, you doodle on a piece of paper between classes or during classes. You're not paying attention to the class, whatever it is. And I remember how I drew what was essentially like a slutty girl, like blonde, big tits, like short shorts, like a tank top. But you know what I do remember distinctly putting on the drawing? I had the girl of my dreams, well, besides the big breasts, I had her wearing a Walkman, you know, like a Sony Walkman. So I drew the headphones with like the strings coming off of each ear and then just being connected to the Walkman that was popular in the day. So that's what I remember specifically. So I drew the girlfriend of my dreams when I was in high school. And all I can tell you is none of that shit came true. The way that I remember how I drew that girl looking back then, I didn't date a single girl that looked like that at all.
Except for the Walkman part?
Well, eventually that all got replaced. Technology always gets replaced. Women can't be replaced.
So this week, not this week, or was it last week? Saturday. Yeah, this Saturday, I took Henry to the vet. What happened was, during the cold, well, every year you got to take your dog in to have his, you know, shots and looked at and all that stuff. And I had put it off because it was cold, and I was like, well, really the only thing he needs is heartworm medication and like the anti-tick flea and other bug meds, because they give you like a certain number of months supply, and you know once you run out it's time to take him back to the vet. But I didn't because it was cold, and I was like, well, there's no ticks out there. So I let it slide and I let it slide, and then hello coronavirus. And now we're a couple months in and it's getting warm, and I'm watching him walk through tall grass thinking, oh, he's gonna get bit. So I knew I had to make the appointment. So I made the appointment. And I took him in Saturday, and I was all ready. I had my scarf, like I was going to put that over my mouth. That looked like a burglar. Like the dog bone bandit. But I went to the Petco or PetSmart, one of those pet places that have a Banfield hospital in it. And yeah. I took Henry up to the door, and there's a huge sign out in the front. It was like, stop, halt, don't go any further. Before you each step foot in our store, call this number, and we'll tell you what to do.
Really?
So I took my phone out. Yeah, I took my phone out, and then I called the number, and she's like, Banfield at Pet Hospital. And I was like, hi, I'm just obeying your sign. What do you want me to do? And she's like, well, we're going to put you on hold for a moment. Please hold. And it's like, boop. Eventually, someone came back on the phone and said, okay, is this for Henry? And I was like, yeah. Or someone will be out in a minute. So this lady comes out in a mask and a clipboard, and she's like, so Henry's here for, and then she proceeded to machine gun a list of all the things he needed, like this and that shot and that and this fire vaccine, and he needs this and that checked out. And I was like, yep, I'm remembering none of that. Mm-hmm. But she put a collar and leash around his neck and then said, we'll be back and we'll call you. Go wait in your car.
Really?
And, I was like, we'll get back to you. So they went inside and disappeared. I go to my car. I'm just kind of sitting there looking around, and I'm watching people come in and out of the parking lot, walk in and out of the store, and everybody's got a mask. Everybody is covered up. They all have like scarves around their face. Mm-hmm. And it got me to thinking that, you know, the demographic that this virus seems to least affect is one of the probably the most oppressed and disenfranchised demographic anywhere. It's Muslim women. Like, they have to be the least affected by the coronavirus. And they've been ready for it their entire lives. It's like, there's no way they're getting infected. And then it made me think, as I'm walking around on Easter, taking your dog for a walk, it's nice out. It's like, did Easter suddenly become a Muslim holiday? It's like everybody just wrapped in scarves, their faces are all wrapped up. And I was like, well, if the Muslims were the least affected, what are the most affected? Like the greasy, unsanitary, unbathed Italians, probably.
Oh my gosh.
Those, aren't they? I mean, they have the most deaths under their belt, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. Hey, so what have you been doing besides dealing with your refrigerator and doing artwork? Have you been doing any kind of like viewing on television now that you've been inside your house for a while?
I've been playing around with Steven Universe still. I did finish season 3 of Future Man. Have you seen that one?
You know, I only saw the one episode and that was it. I haven't seen it since.
From season 1 or season 3?
Oh, from season 1. And what I remember about that episode is that he gets visited by the people in the future and he's in the middle of jerking off. And when they are suddenly appear in his room, you would think that he would stop jerking off. But instead, he finished.
And he finished on the guy, the character that came to see him. So you just see that guy, and then you see that splat on him. That's awesome.
Yeah. What's kind of funny is that they, from that, so it's the same actors and everything, right? So it's season 3. How many episodes is this for each season, do you know?
Offhand, I don't know. I do know season 3 was about maybe 8 episodes, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's under 10 episodes in season 3. I don't, and they finished the series off completely. I don't know that they can reopen it, but it seems like this was the last season.
Oh, what a shame. So you've been watching Future Man. I've been watching, not binge watching, but rather I've just been watching it while I do my animation and I do things around the house. But do you remember that a while ago, like maybe a couple of years ago, we were talking about a show called The Venture Brothers?
Yeah, of course.
So I started watching old episodes because as often as they repeat them on network television, on Adult Swim, on Cartoon Network, I really never actually sat down and paid attention to each episode. So I kind of did that. And I started watching it from season 1 all the way to just recently, which I just completed season 6. And season 7 is the one that I'm about to watch. But the point is that it's like every single episode is brilliantly animated. And I get really jealous of the fact that I think that I subconsciously wanted my animation to look like their animation. And their stuff just looks so much better. To the point where it makes the show believable, especially since they reference actual pop culture. Like last night's episode that I watched, okay, it was an episode called Party for Tarzan. Now, why do you think that it was called Party for Tarzan?
Because it was his birthday?
Okay, because... so what happens is that the characters from the Venture Brothers, the cartoon, they're all having the party, and just by some weird surprise, Christopher Lambert is in their party, and they freak out. They go, "Oh, is that Christopher Lambert? What is he doing here?" And they all just gush over the fact that it's Christopher Lambert. Do you remember who Christopher Lambert is?
Was he the actor that played Tarzan in the Bo Derek version of Tarzan?
No, he was the actor that played Tarzan in a movie called Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan.
Oh, right.
And mm-hmm. Then he went on to fame by playing the Highlander.
Right, okay? I was going to say Highlander.
Yeah, so the thing is that, that was just the name of the episode. And throughout the episode, they go through a whole adventure. But the fact that the episode is called Party for Tarzan, just because they all notice that Christopher Lambert is at a party that they're at, and then just forget about that, and then just go on with their adventure, makes the show just worthwhile. Because you realize that there's a surprise to everything, including the title. There's a surprise twist to just the fact that the characters have a knowledge about Christopher Lambert. Now, did you know that he was married to Diane Lane, the actress that played Martha Kent in the Batman movies? Not the Batman movies, the Justice League movies and the Batman versus Superman. So, all right. So there's a line in the cartoon where one of the characters says, That's Christopher Lambert over there. He had sex with Diane Lane multiple times. You know, just one of those throwaway lines.
I always heard
lines.
Him referred to as Christopher Lambert. I'm going to look it
up. Oh, shit. That's you know, well, he's a French actor, so every time that I heard his name being pronounced, it was always in the French pronunciation.
Maybe
Lambert.
They did that to avoid, like, copyrights or something.
No, because I'm pretty sure that all the Americans who read his name read it phonetically out loud, Lambert. So, yeah, I think you're right. So, I've watched that, the Venture Brothers, and a few other things. But beyond that, I've just been doing nothing but watching TV, working on animation, eating a lot, and having a meltdown with my mom.
Christopher Lambert. Christopher Lambert.
That's the internet. Anyway, so married to Diane Lane, and they mentioned his, the other one is that he was the guy who's been fucking Diane Lane. Right? Anyway, so what else is going on? How's your brother?
Oh, my brother's doing good. We had Easter dinner. Did I show you that I cooked a ham on I didn't cook it. I just threw it into the oven. Hit 350 degrees, and then an hour and a half later, it came out nice and hot. So we had like an Easter dinner ham. What'd you do for Easter?
Nothing. I got into a fight with my brother.
Oh, well, hang on. Before you talk about your brother and you having a fight, you know, you kind of like delivered a sad note last week that your aunt had died. So, do you know what their plans were for a funeral? Because you can't really have a funeral now, can you?
Yeah, so what happened was, like the next day, that weekend that I told you about that, my cousin had sent me a text message with a website link. And she said, can you make sure your dad sees this?
Right.
So I was like, sure, no problem. So I click it, and it's like, here's an address, here's a bit about my aunt, you know, like it was a nice little description of her life and who she left behind. And then it said, here are the times from 11 to noon at this address.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, okay, so they did have this. And then I started thinking, well, how are they going to implement that with the virus? But, all right, so I took that link and I sent it to my sister, my brother, my nephew and niece, and my kids, and I said, well, here's the information. And my sister Lisa's like, I'm going to go. I'll drive Dad. I'll clean out my car, and we'll just wear masks, wash our hands, and make sure that we don't get too close to everybody. And then my brother Danny said, I'm not going. There's no way I'm going.
Wow.
And then my niece said that she would go as well. So while this conversation's taking place, I was thinking, she told me, make sure your dad sees this. She didn't say, give the information to, you know, those knuckleheads. So I wrote her back, hey, I passed this information on to my sister and brother and family. Should I have done that? I don't know if I crossed any lines. Is there a limit to the number of people that can show up, you know, especially right now? And then she wrote back, oh, no one's invited. You guys can't come. I just wanted you to know that was happening. And for just to tell your dad so he has the information. And I was like, okay, really sorry. And then I went back to the text messages, and I was like, hey, guys, ignore all that. Just pretend like I didn't say it. Oops, my mistake. We're not invited. This is just for them. They only allow 10 people in a room. Where 10 or more people are gathered in my name, there I shall be. So they were like, my brother's like, see, I told you, they can't do that. They should Skype it. They should Zoom it. And I was like, well, why don't you call and tell them that? And I go, do you need their number? Yeah, that's how he sounds on text. So, so then at that point, I started to wonder, how am I going to tell my stubborn father? Because I'm going to say, here's the information, and he's just going to jump in a car and go. Because it's his sister, right? So I waited till the day of, because now I got to go up there and say, hey, Dad, here's information about a funeral you can't go to. But he took it surprisingly well. He was like, yeah, they don't allow everybody there. It's okay. So they did have a thing, but only like 10 of them were allowed to go.
Back. Okay, yeah, so I don't know what the hell's going on, but yeah, my computer, for whatever fucked up reason, was just not recording properly or just not recording at all. I don't know, dude.
So anyways, before this all went down, we were talking about funerals, the coronavirus, and how we can't get together anymore in this time of isolation. And speaking of masturbation, you have a story for us, don't you?
Well, it's not really a story. It's just that all the plumbing seems to be working now. You know, for a while, I seriously was just, nothing was happening for me. Then I thought that it was the medication or stress or who knows what the hell was going on.
But wow, happy Easter. He is risen.
No, well, no, which is weird because I was using all the regular, you know, stuff. You know, I was looking at pictures, watching movies.
Salves.
The computer, right. And then none of it was working for the longest time. For like maybe 6 months, I'd say. I could be exaggerating with the amount of time, but for a good long period of time there, I wasn't getting any blood flowing down there. Now it's all over the place. I swear to God, I don't know what the deal is. But it's like, I was watching a movie, like a film noir movie, which was on Saturday night. And 1950s, and they had this really hot blonde on there, right? And the minute that I saw the hot blonde, I suddenly just had this thing about blondes, and so, you know, I found, you know, some representations, you know, quote, unquote, quote, representations, unquote, of blondes, and everything was working for me. And it's just been a regular thing on a regular basis. A little while ago, not that I did anything about it, but a little while ago, I was looking through the internet, and there was like a picture of Sophia Loren. And Sophia Loren just does it for me all the time. And I was like, I was all nice and ready. I didn't do anything about it, but it like immediately just stood at attention. I haven't felt this way in a long time, to be quite honest with you.
Wow. Well, welcome back. I'm glad you could make it. Well, see, the isolation and coronavirus, there's a silver lining. Art got his boner back.
Yeah, how Art got his boner back. If you have to call it something, might as well call it that. Mike, what do you think of this? You think that this was a good try here?
It'll be fun in the editing. I want to see how this is going to work because the audio is going to be so clean. I'm not going to hear any of what you're saying, and putting them, you know, back to back might be much easier than if I had to sync.
Yeah.
Because what happens is if I get your voice on my audio, when it's out of sync, it becomes echoey, and I won't have that with this. So it might actually work really well compared to if you were here and we were just separately recording and then combining later.
All right then.
All right. So I'll keep you posted. And have a good weekend, everybody.
Have a good weekend, everyone. Thanks a lot for listening. See you all soon. See you in the promised land. Bye.
Bye.